Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range, my weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Lift, lift, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
All right, you soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. And this is for the 13th of December, 2018. The title of this sermon is Progressing Inversion. Progressing Inversion. Book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 15 says, to hate evil and love good, okay? Or to love good and hate evil, I can't remember which order it's in, but it's the same thing. We're to love the good and we're to hate the evil. But what are we seeing today in all societies, not just the United States, everywhere, all over the planet, okay? We're seeing the order of things completely becoming inverted. That's turning upside down. Everything is the wrong way. It's not supposed to be like this, etc., etc., etc. I remember when I was young, I lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, my parents, you were never afraid when you saw a police car behind you. If you were a good person and a member of the community, that was the beat cop. That guy patrolled your neighborhood. He knew everybody in your neighborhood. He knew who the good ones were. He knew who the bad ones were. Well, we lived out in Mount Airy, and there were no bad ones out there. All white area, all white schools. Everything was right. You know, Dad was working. Mom stayed home. She was there when I got home from school. I could walk to school. All white school. I never saw anything but white until I got into high school, and there was one in that high school. Just one. And he was a high yellow. Now, the same area that I grew up in, okay, I had gone back up and took a look at the place after I had moved to Kentucky. They built all these apartment complexes, and they are loaded with non-whites. All the old stores are gone. They're gutted. Everything's changed. It's completely turned upside down, a complete inversion of what it was when I grew up. Well, I'm sure that a lot of you, wherever you are, the U.S., Europe, whatever, Australia, South Africa, that listen to my shows, have noticed the same thing. What you grew up with, what you were raised with, if you have any age on you at all, if you have a number of years, you've seen your nation, your neighborhood, your way of life in that nation completely inverted. And it's ongoing, progressing inversion. They're continuing to turn our Israelite world upside down. Upside down. Nothing's the same. And it's not for the good. This is not for the good. It's not a good change. We've seen the onset of all that technology. Okay, yeah, technology is good in some ways, but bad in others. Due to technology, due to the massive superstores that we have now, you don't have the little local stores where you grew up and the neighborhood shopkeeper. We've lost touch with one another. As Israelites, we're scattered even more, even though we're in dispersion in these nations. They've destroyed the structure, turned it upside down, of the sense of community. We no longer have that. We don't have white communities. They've been forcibly invaded. They've got laws. They're doing all this. It's a mess. It is not what it's supposed to be. It was when I was a child. But I'm in my 70s, and I have watched the destruction of my nation firsthand. I have seen it in its glory days when everything was good, and I've watched it being destroyed because they had laid the foundation for this before I was born. They had their deception and their little laws that they were creeping in. And the children of the adversary had put their things in place, and then I saw it come to pass. I saw them bring their evil plans into fruition. And as I said, in Amos it says, love the good and hate evil. And people wonder why we are upset, we in Israel, that love Yahweh and know Yahweh. We hate this evil that's come in and taken over our societies. But as I have said many times before on these wake-up call shows, the war in heaven never ended. It's still going on here. Now, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to read some more Bible verses. But I'm just going to talk here and bare my soul and sort of reminisce. But it's all pertinent to what's going on today. Watching the riots in France. I mean, when I grew up, you know, France was picturesque. And they had all the culture and the paintings and the artwork and the Eiffel Tower. And it was a place that you went as a tourist and enjoyed yourself. Same with Great Britain and England, you know, Ireland and Scotland. And Great Britain, a lot of people had roots there. And they would go over and visit family. And they never had to worry about, you know, be careful what you say at the pub. Somebody might be listening. They'll turn you in and they'll arrest you. They won't let you out of the country if you say the wrong thing. Oh, you poor Brits, I'll tell you. I feel for you. It, you're going to have to forcibly take it back because they're not going to let you have your rights and your lives back. You're going to have to take them back. I hate to have to say that, but it's gone on too long and too far. When you gave up your guns, that was the end. That was the beginning of the long slide downhill. When you allowed that, that was the death knell. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. That's the only thing that's keeping America above water right now is the fact that everybody owns guns over here. And they're not going to give them up. They can pass all the laws they want, and it's not going to happen. I don't think we have that long. Quite honestly, that's my opinion. That's I don't try to say I'm prophesying because I'm not, but I'm looking around and I'm seeing the things really going down the tubes. Somebody's pushed a big flush lever, and things are going down the pipes rapidly, more and more rapidly. We've got all the riots over in Europe. Germany is in a mess. Yeah, I grew up, you know, right after World War II. Daddy came home and got it, Mom, and here I came. Boom, 1947. I was born. Daddy didn't waste any time. He just couldn't wait to get home. And he had brought the family tartan and all that stuff from Scotland. And pictures of our castle over there. I suppose, you know, being of that family line and can prove it, I could go over and live at the castle. But I wouldn't want to go over there because it's less free over there than it is here. I'm going to bide it out where I'm at and get ready for these last days. I say in the end times, what is good will become evil. what is evil will become good. Well, that's an inversion, isn't it? The turning upside down of the order of things. I would definitely say that. The school systems here, especially in the United States, are gone. When they passed all those laws to integrate the schools, it destroyed the schools. Bible says, each kind unto its kind. Well, when we started violating that law, it was another chunk, another hole in the dike, and the water's pouring out. And the integrating of the schools brought the blacks and the whites into contact. And, of course, the blacks were going to go after the white girls. And the advent of television. Television had censors. When it first came on, I was in Cincinnati, which had the first commercial television station. I saw the onset of television from the very get-go. We had a little 6-inch cathode ray tube, which was really long, and there was one channel, Channel 5. There was one television station in the whole country, and it was right there. Crosley Broadcasting. They had Crosley Field, home of the Cincinnati Redlegs baseball team. Didn't have a football team. Didn't have a professional basketball team either. Dad used to take me down to Crosley Field to watch the Red Legs. They were the Red Stockings. Then they changed the name to the Red Legs. And then later on, just the Cincinnati Reds. I don't know what's going on up there now. I mean, they've destroyed all of that. All the baseball was segregated. There were no blacks. That came in later. And we had Eisenhower get in, who was a Swedish Jew. He was the president. And he instituted the Eisenhower Interstate System. And that's going to help transportation. It had nothing to do with transportation. They had to have a set of highway systems for troop movement in the United States for the future, where they could go anywhere quickly with vehicles and tanks and stuff like that in the United States. It's set up for martial law so they can get to your area quickly. That was the purpose of the Eisenhower Interstate System. But most people don't know that. They don't go back that far. My generation is dying out. I mean, I'm an oldster, and Brother Eli is a year older than I am. We've seen this country go from a great country right after World War II. We thought it was great, but there was all this stuff down below the surface that we didn't see. We were all brainwashed. And then we saw them implement it and destroy it. And now there are areas in our country, as there are in Britain and France and Germany, there's no-go zones. They're Muslim zones. Can you imagine that? In our white Christian nations, a Muslim zone where white people can't go. It's a fact these days. The world has been progressively inverted. Progressive inversion. And it's progressing. It's still going on. They're still taking every last vestige of what is good and right and decent and turning it upside down. They're inverting it. They're making the mirror image, which is Satan's desire, to take that which Yahweh established and completely do the opposite. And he has his agenda well in hand. He has been very, very busy, and his minions and his children, his physical children, have been very busy doing all these things. My dad designed our house where we lived and had it built. It was a brick home. Had a beautiful fireplace. We used to have that, and they had a garage. And I had my room, and Mom and Dad had their room, and had a great big dining room with a picture window, and we would have the whole family around. We had a huge family at that time. I don't have any idea of what's happened to the house or who lives there. But I know that my neighborhood that I grew up in is now an integrated neighborhood. I don't know what the school system is like. I haven't been back. I had to leave because it was getting so bad that I just couldn't live there anymore. Couldn't live there anymore. And then I moved to Kentucky, and it was all white. And it was just like moving home. Not anymore. That's gone too. And they have liberalized all these southern white people. They've brainwashed them. Through these Judeo-Christian churches, Judeo-Christian churches are very strong here.
Oh, the blacks have beautiful souls.
Show me that in the Bible, please.
Oh, you're one of those racist haters. I don't want to talk to you.
Man, I'll tell you, I'm biding my time until I can leave here. I have a year to go, and then I can leave, and I'm going over with Eli, and Eli and I are going to work together, and we're going to get a group of people assembled here and there and help others get assemblies, and we're going to get ready. If it lasts a year, I hope it does. I hope it doesn't completely blow up before I can get out. If it starts to blow up, I'm not going to worry about the laws because they won't be, it'll be anarchy. There'll be no law. And I'll throw my stuff on the back of my little scooter and I will just go. You know, at least I have that freedom. But I'm hoping that it will hold together until long enough that I can get out of here safely. And I've got my friends in the congregation west of here. This is not a particularly violent little city. I live in Lexington, which is a college town, and it's pretty laid back. Oh, there are bad areas, but nothing like the big cities. We're seeing Muslims and burqas and all that stuff come in. They're starting to turn this upside down too, but it's going to be a while before they get it done. And I have been working so very, very hard on the Word for Word series, and I have like 11 shows left to do. And I will have everything done from Genesis all the way through Revelations, and then I can concentrate, and I will do more and more. I will do a live wake-up call like this one every week, because I won't have the burden of producing all those other shows. And I do the post-production on a number of shows for some of the hosts. That'll free me up with more time with that. But the only sane thing that I've seen that has continued in its steadfastness is EFR. This group of people that comprise Eurofolk Radio has kept to the message and kept to the format as best we can. And there's only a limited number of us. But Yahweh has called us out. Said, I got a job for you, boys. And we've been doing it. And personally, I have great joy in my heart that he has taken somebody like me and totally turned my life upside down. I have had a progressive inversion in my life, but it's the reverse of what's going on in the world. He took a sinner and made me into a servant. So that is a reverse. That's a blessing. I am not the man I used to be. Praise Yahweh. He has totally changed me, and I am so grateful. And he has put me with some people that have been a true blessing. You know, we hear people talk about loving your neighbor and helping your brother and doing all that stuff. David James and Eli and Professor Truth and Leroy and Marilyn and Brother Abair and it just goes on and on. What a wonderful group of Christians to be affiliated with. And I want to give my heartfelt thanks to all of you for being my friends. True friends. Not backstabbers or people trying to get something off of me, but the real biblical friendship, brotherhood, real brotherhood, not fake, the real deal. I am very, very fortunate and very blessed that Yahweh put me with these people. That's the only thing that's keeping me going, really, because the weight of the world, you know, I'm an old man, I'm not young anymore, and I had health problems, and he's blessed me there, and he's healed me, and he's given me strength to do all these shows and keep on keeping on. And I am watching daily this progressing inversion of our world from good to evil. Daily, I'm watching the events. I'm watching things in the United States. I'm watching the news. And you get these talking heads on these mainstream media news channels, and they are such shills. They are shills. They never give the whole story. They dance around the problem. They'll give you a little bit of information intertwined with a bunch of lies, with their spin on everything. And the only thing that you can do is stay in scriptures. And it's going to get worse. I hate to say that. I know. I'm not trying to do fear porn or doom porn. But we see it, brothers and sisters. We're watching the violence expand exponentially in all these countries. The assaults on our women and the things that have been done to children by some of these animals. Our kids, our little kids, are not safe. You can't send them to school because you don't know what kind of animal is going to be waiting for them at school that's going to go off and do some weird stuff, some violent thing, body slam your kid or bite them and chew them. And oh, it's hard. It's a horror story. And I'm watching the world turn upside down. Now, I'm not a flat earther, okay? Straight up. But I've seen some stuff about this Planet X here lately, and it could be a big crock of crap. But, listen to the, I'm going to read this now. The Planet X Nibiru or whatever, and there's so much hype and there's so much stuff, and you have to wade through all the BS about it. But listen to this passage in 2 Peter chapter 3. Just listen to this and think about it. You know, oh, Steve, you're going off the deep end. No. I have to have everything I do backed up by Scripture. And I was wondering about some stuff, and I came across this Scripture that sort of set me back a little bit. It makes some sense. Now, I'm not going to go start preaching about Planet X, okay? But this is something that we need to examine everything around us, okay? We can't be afraid of looking at things. That's the only way to keep safe and to keep from being blindsided. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 10 here, and I want you to listen and think, okay? You don't have to agree, and I'm not going to go and be some big proponent of all of this and harp on it, but it's something to think about, and I think it's worth listening to. Verse 10 Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. But the day of Yahweh shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Okay, let's stop. I'll continue on here in a minute. Remember, Yahweh said he was not going to destroy with another flood. wouldn't be flood, it would be fire the next time. Okay? Remember way back in the other old books, the Old Testament? Okay? Remember that. He said that. Let's go on to verse 11. Seeing all these are to be destroyed in this way, and it gives an admonition here, what kind of people ought you to be in set apart behavior and reverence? And reverence. Set apart behavior and reverence. That's holy behavior and revering Yahweh, okay? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of Elohim, through which the heavens shall be destroyed, being set on fire, and the elements melt with intense heat. All right, here's verse 13. But according to his promise, we wait for a renewed heavens and a renewed earth in which righteousness dwells. Okay, verse 13, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, Isaiah 65, 17, and Isaiah 66, 22, Psalm 102, verse 25 and 26, and Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, 1. All right. Now we've got this progressing inversion of morality and behavior here in this world. It's ongoing, steady. We see it. It's very visible. We're watching all our Christian values devalued and destroyed. And if Yahweh is going to burn all this stuff up, he's going to burn it up. He's not going to burn up his remnant, because he has said he would preserve his remnant. And when Yeshua Messiah comes back, he's coming in flaming fire. Whoa! What? There's another little deal. Flaming fire? Oh, please. Well, here we go. I'm going to read this again. I read this a lot. This is 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verse 2 and 3. Verse 2. For you yourselves know very well that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. Boy, does that sound familiar. Just read that, didn't I? in another book. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And my regular standard verse I read all the time, telling these people what's coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Verse 6, since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, that being Israel, those that are afflicting Israel will be repaid. And to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Those are the avenging angels. Okay. And here we go again. Verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey that terrible four-letter word, obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set-apart ones. Now that's us. And if he's going to bring flaming fire and destroy, it says here his set apart ones are not going to be destroyed. They're going to esteem and love him. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed that day. Now, in this turning upside down of our world, and the prophesied, not by me, but by the book, coming destruction, do you not think, in all reasonableness, using your brain that you were given to by Yahweh, that the Most High Divine Being, Yahweh, who created, designed, planned, created, and implemented the entire universe and its order, don't you think if he has chosen people in a remnant that he wants to preserve, no matter how bad it gets here, when he comes in the last day and of vengeance, do you think it's beyond his capabilities to protect his remnant? I mean, he's called us out. We're called out. We didn't just choose him. He chose us before the foundation of the world. It says it all through the Bible. What is beyond the power of Yahweh? What does he ask of us? He asks for us to be obedient, to love him, to love Yeshua, to love the law, to do the very best that we can as Adamites on this plane of existence where we exist now. And it says, if there were not intervention in these last days, no flesh would be saved. Well, he's going to save our flesh. Some of us have passed on. Some of us have crossed over and we're sleeping. I'm still alive in my old age. Eli's still alive in his old age. We're not as stout as we used to be, but hey, you know, we're still men. I believe and have total, complete faith in the ability to Yahweh, the ability of Yahweh to keep his promises to us. I have seen what he has done in my life, which was a complete, utter wreck, done by me, my fault, my bad, my stupidity, my sin. And if he can fix me up and make me what I am now from what I was, there is nothing that he cannot do. Because I'll tell you, folks, I was a heller. I'm not now. I wouldn't touch with a stolen 10-foot pole the stuff I used to do back then. No way. No possible way. It's just not in me anymore. I'm not that man. I'm a completely different individual. He has changed me. And if he can change me, what about all these other people that he has changed? You don't think he can preserve us through this catastrophe that's coming? Of course he can. Of course he can. And as we watch this progressing inversion of our world today, having it turned upside down and every which way but loose, Yahweh never changes. He says, I am Yahweh, I change not. We change. We either obey or disobey. We make good choices or bad choices. We choose to come under this new covenant and obey the stipulations. And I got to warn you, there's a price to pay for being a real Christian. You can lose your job. You can even get killed, okay? But at the end of the day, even if you go down in death, and I've faced that, you'll be back. You will not suffer the second permanent death. This temple that you are inhabiting right now might pass away. But you get a new one, and it will be as the original was designed to be, and it won't age, and it won't have bad teeth and arthritis and vision problems. You won't need glasses. He has the power to do all of that. If he can just create our race out of nothing to begin with, he most certainly can transform us into these new beings. And at that point, there will be no more temptation or no more sin, because the evil ones and the fallen ones will be destroyed. And all those that have made the bad choices that want to follow these evil fallen ones, they're going to go the way of the tare. They will be burned up by this fire. You understand? The fire and the destroying angels and the plagues and all the stuff that's in the book of Revelations are not going to touch his chosen remnant that are faithful. So no matter how much this world is turned upside down, as we are seeing now, evil is increasing, and it is our obligation as soldiers in the army of Yahweh to resist this evil. With all our hearts, all our minds, all our beings, everything we've got. And like I said, some of us may go down in this fight, but so what? We're going to go down anyway. Trust in Yahweh, because mankind and some big politician is not going to be your savior. There is only one savior, and that is Yeshua HaMashiach. He's been here. He's done his job. He's left. Now he's coming back. And as this progressing inversion of our world occurs, that time period is getting closer and closer and closer. And it says in here, it's going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know. He's not going to put a headline on the internet, "I will be here on October the 2nd of at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time." That ain't happening. It's going to be, "Oh my." That's going to be an "oh my" moment. Boom. It's going to happen. And those of us that are not prepared, that haven't got our lamp oil, going to be left out in the dark. You need to get right with Yahweh in spite of this progressing inversion that we're going through on this planet at this time, where the evil is just sprouting up like weeds everywhere, and all this violence coming to a town near you. Got to be ready for that. You got to be strong. You have to think like a soldier of Yahweh. You have to think in a holy military mindset. What are you going to do when the time comes and he shows up? Are you going to run to the woods and hide and bunker up and drink rainwater? And I got news for you. There's nowhere to run. There is nowhere that's going to be safe. You're going to be involved whether you want to be involved, whether you like the idea of being involved or not. So, you might as well toughen up. You might as well plan on surviving. "Oh, I just wanted," I had a friend tell me yesterday, "Oh, I'll just, if it all gets like that, I'm not gonna try to survive like I do with that movie Left Behind. I'm gonna kill myself and my family." I said, "You gotta be kidding me." I told him, I said, "The Bible tells you occupy until the end, even unto death. Okay, if you go down in righteousness, so what? You'll be back. But if you do what you're doing, that's not righteous." We're going to have to suffer some stuff. We're already suffering a number of things. We look at the news and all the bad stuff that's happening, and we shudder in horror at the things that are done to our people. We were told, okay, if you stand for Yeshua Messiah, you will be hated and persecuted because they hated and persecuted him. He told us they hated me before they hate you. And they did. And they took his life, and in 3 days he took it back up again. Well, what do you think we're going to be able to do? If he's the first fruits of the resurrection, the rest of us are going to follow. Us too. We will not be resurrected to the second death. We will be resurrected to the eternal life that we once had. We will become like the original Adam before he fell. That's the promise. But we have to stay faithful, and we have to occupy until the end, and we have to resist the devil. You just can't give up and quit. Yes, this progressing inversion of our world ways is very depressing, and it's horrifying, and it's disgusting, and it's disheartening. And the depression and the despair are some of the things we have to fight. We can't knuckle under to it. We have to fight it. And you got to get down and dirty and get mean and just go at them, brothers and sisters. Give that devil a whooping. Whatever. Whatever you got to do to stay on the good side of Yahweh, do it. Don't give in. Don't deny Yahweh. Don't be weak. Don't worry about your worldly life. Because eventually you were going to lose it anyway. But if you lose it in the service of Yahweh, you will find it. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who loses his life in my name shall have everlasting life. If you love your life in this world and love stuff, you're going to go the way of the stuff. That's all I can say. I really can't say anymore. If you love your stuff, you're going to go the way of the stuff. You're going to be stuffed too. And you're going to get stuffed. Oh, I get a demerit for that. But, hey, lighten up, brighten up. You're alive. You have another day to serve Yahweh. You have another day to praise Him. You have another day to witness to somebody that doesn't know the Father and the Messiah. Take advantage of that great opportunity. Tell somebody about the saving grace of Yeshua today. Talk to another Israelite and try to bring them into the remnant. All praise and all glory to Yahweh and Yeshua, and may He bless and keep you. Talk to you again on the next show.
Live. Live. Two, three, four, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
Hip. You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.